Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. I hope everything is going well for you on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. Glad to be here. Looking forward to a fun day as going to have some different guests on today. Evan, you ever heard of Long Drink? Well, that's the one that has been, it's owned by an IU grad, and it is doing quite well. Looking forward to that. Jace Briscoe on the program today as well. Looking forward to a very, very fun and different type of interview for as the Brickyard 400 is coming up this weekend. Coach Griff, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, my man. I almost thought I forgot about today.
Having an issue myself, so no biggie, but it's all good because it's all good now. But what's coming up? You got the Brickyard 400 this weekend, a little different from the football to basketball that we're normally covering, but looking forward to that. Chase Briscoe from Mitchell, Indiana. Yeah. Not only is well, he's on today, but he has to be one of the favorites this weekend because he won at Pocono and he's bringing the Pocono car because they're kind of similar. So how cool would that be though to see not only an Indiana kid, but just truly from just down here in Mitchell, Indiana. Amazing. Fun to watch him. Big Ten football media days. Let's talk about fun while that's still going on.
Yeah.
Coach Cignetti, he enjoys getting to prod the bear a little bit.
He ruffled some feathers as the Twitterverse went crazy over his comment about adopting the SEC scoring philosophy of scheduling. And what everybody fails to realize with the SEC is they have four non-conference games. The way they try to save face is that they either schedule somebody from the ACC or the Big 12 as their fourth non-conference game. And they claim to say that's like them having a SEC conference game, which is a total crock. So if you take that away and add a ninth conference game, their scheduling will match exactly what Indiana's schedule is with two G5 teams and one FCS team for the vast majority of the conference. And that was the whole point. The whole point of his comment was they want the SEC to play nine conference games and drop the fourth game that they say they go out and schedule ACC and Big 12. Now, Texas and Ohio State are playing this year. Okay, we'll give them that. Alabama may be playing a tier team at here like they did Wisconsin a year ago. Okay, well, play the ninth conference game, guys, and then have your three non-conference games and let the chips fall where they may. Now, if you want to drop a conference game, then have a cross schedule with the Big Ten. I mean, that's what he was saying. He's not opposed to it. So everybody got their feathers ruffled to the point of just, it was funny to watch them just seethe at what he was stating. And they still want to relive last year's schedule and record and pointing out who Indiana didn't play and didn't have a rank win. And, you know, they fell for to forget that I believe Washington and Nebraska were ranked at the time. And they played the two teams that played in the national championship game a year ago. This was all in the preseason. Everybody looked at that schedule and thought, it's pretty good, pretty good Big Ten schedule.
Well, yeah, you can't help what changes, and
You don't have no control over that. So
just like right now, I mean, it sure looks like going to Iowa and Oregon and Penn State is pretty tough. What happens if Iowa turns out to be a flop, which that's not going to happen, but
right.
Yeah.
Oregon, we'll go to Oregon. Yeah. Hey, look, they got a 3-game gauntlet that will probably have the most defining fingerprint on their season this year. When Illinois, Iowa, and Oregon are right there in a row to kick off the first part of the Big Ten schedule. And that will be a huge gauntlet that they will have to go through. And somehow, some way, if they want a chance again at the college football playoffs, they're going to have to come out of there at least 2-1 of those 3 weeks. And there's no one that knows that any better than Coach Cignetti and the guys that he's going to line up each and every week with and go to battle, whether it's in Memorial Stadium or on the road, like every Big Ten conference game is a tough one on the road. And his other comment that I like, they said, what do you get the biggest kick out of, or something to that effect? And he says, lining up and kicking somebody's ass. I mean, honestly, every coach thinks that. There's not a coach in America, NFL, college, high school, you name it, that doesn't have that same.
But very few are going to say it.
But they're not going to say it to the extent of what he says it. And, but that's him. I mean, he says what he means, and he means what he says, I guess you could say, like him, hate him, love him. That's Coach Cignetti. And like he says, I'm talking to two entities out there, my players and my fan base. That was it. He didn't care who else thinks.
And he's still building a fan base.
Absolutely.
In sorts. He's still, Indiana is not, I don't tell anybody this, that they'd already know, not football traditional. You're still building fans. It's a stadium that only holds 53,000. So you've got to build it to where it's already not big enough, but you've got to build it to where, we've got to expand. And they got there quickly. And I think I've said this repeatedly. This is not a flash in the pan. It's going to stay that way. This is he knows what the hell he's doing. He really does. And amazingly, he has navigated these new uncharted waters with the NIL and the transfer portal quite swimmingly. Look what he did at Indiana last year, and it's going to continue. That's pretty remarkable for someone who did not really have the traditional success as we traditionally see it. He was James Madison where they did great, but before that, it's a different, he took a different path, a very different path, and to have the success that he is having at this level, where he's having it, is just utterly mind-boggling to me.
No question, and I'm sure there's other coaches out there across the college football landscape, whether it be at Division III or Division II or the football subdivision conference, that are very capable of doing what Kurt Cignetti has done, because their background has proven they know how to win, and all they needed is a chance. Now, Coach Cignetti has opened that door for so many coaches out there.
So
that
you're have saying there's background. A chance.
Exactly. And, that's the whole thing here. I mean, look at last year. They were picked second to last in the Big Ten. And this year, they've moved all the way up to the sixth in the Big Ten, with Michigan and Illinois are the two in front of them. Michigan has a freshman quarterback. That is an exceptional ranking for a team that has an unproven quarterback at all.
And, yeah, that's what I keep – not only a freshman – freshman,
right, freshman quarterback, and we saw what Dylan Raiola went through a year ago. And that's a big, tall task for them to be ranking Michigan that well, especially ahead of Indiana and Illinois, for that matter. So, but I was, what I was trying to say is he's changed that culture mindset, even within the national landscape, that they put Indiana sixth in the Big Ten out of 18 teams. That in itself is a monumental statement under the national landscape of what people or how the media views Indiana to a degree when it comes to the Big Ten Conference. And so now, like you said, this is a talking season. It will end here in a week. And next thing is, it's time to go back and go to work and not rest on last season's success, because that is said and done. It's like he said, I had every picture removed about Coach Sig being on College Game Day or the Big Noon Kickoff. Those all came down because that has nothing to do with this season. And that is the mindset he has preached to the kids, the coaches, the support staff, the administration, the AD, and now all the way out through the college landscape, but more importantly, the Hoosier fan base, that this is a new year. There are no promises. Everything is earned and nothing is given. And you have to show up every week to be the best that you can be. And that includes the fans and putting butts in the seats in Memorial Stadium. And we saw how big that was as the year went on.
Absolutely. And looking forward to seeing what happens this season. And there cannot be any good. Here's the thing I don't get. Why are they still talking about last year? Who cares about last year? Why are exactly. you focused on this year? And if you're complaining about Indiana's schedule, well, guess what? You've got no complaints this year.
No.
They're going to open up Big Ten play with Illinois. I keep saying this. They're a top 15 team. You're going to then go on the road back-to-back games to Iowa and Oregon. I try to stay right down the middle, but that is something I just don't get. It's like insecurity that has spread rampantly. And I'm like going, dude, why don't we have a football season? Why don't we, there's games on the schedule. I've got an idea. Why don't we play the games? It's funny, but
like you were saying there, everybody at the end of last year, all of a sudden want to bring all the subjectivity into the debate. And they wanted to try to subjectively tell everyone why Indiana shouldn't be in the college football playoffs. And so many of the Alabamas and Ole Miss of the world should be in, even though they lost three conference games. You know, that was why. That was the whole debate last year. And it has nothing to do with this year. It holds no water. Everybody's zero and zero. And when we get to the end of the year or wherever we're at in the season, you're going to start seeing all the subjectivity start to come back into play. And if it's not Indiana, it will be another team, whoever that may be, in the equation in this debate. And that's the that's just the way it is. That's what makes college football the way it is and how fun it is, because you're going to have your opinion. I'm going to have my opinion. And most definitely the fans are going to have their opinion. And that's the love of the game of college football. And that's what makes things fun. And you talked about the Indy Five or the Brickyard 400. When I was coaching, the Brickyard 400 signified the start of college football season, because that's usually when we reported to camp when I was at Ball State.
Yeah.
There's a trivia perfect. For you. Yeah. Awesome.
We'll take a quick break. Coach is with us. We've got a lot more coming up. Chase Briscoe's on the program today, and the owner of Long Drink, IU grad, Evan, will be with us as well. Looking forward to that. Back with more from the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios right after these messages. Indiana Sports Beat Radio on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. Coach Griff is with us. Bob Kravitz will join us later. And also, we're going to have Evan Burns on with us. He is the CEO and founder of the Finnish Long Drink, of the finished product of the, it's called the Long Drink, by the way. It's pretty, I've got to tell you, I've tried it and it is quite delicious, but, we'll be, look forward to talking to him here in just a little bit. We're kind of making our, making sure we make everything work segment wise. Bob Kravitz will be joining us a little later in the program, around the top of the hour. I think Bob will be with us, and, Chase Briscoe as well, later, a few segments later in the second hour. So, man, big fun day coming up.
Well, you got the NFL going on now. They're in training camp, full swing, the Colts and Anthony Richards. So,
now, and we'll talk to Bob about that. Yeah, the battle exactly. Right there between Anthony Richards, a lot of story lines, and Daniel Jones. I can tell you who needs Anthony Richardson to do well more than anybody else, and that is the GM, because
you think
his butt is already so hot right now, and if that quarterback bombs, which it's going to be one of the greatest comebacks in the NFL if he does make it, because. Bob's got an article out right now, his piece, and it talks about this, and he lists some things that, you know, Anthony Richardson's gone through, inexperience, some injuries, and a lack of professionalism. And what last year, what did he do? Oh yeah, he left the game. Yeah. What was, I can't remember what happened. I don't feel good or something.
He just tapped out of a game. I mean, I don't know if there was a true explanation as to the why he did it. He just did it. And that, to me, if I'd have been the coach at that, if that was me as the coach or as the quarterback coach, I'm not sure if he would have saw the field the rest of the year. I just don't I don't see how he could have gained the trust of the men up front that are knocking their heads in, day out, playing through injury. Bumps and bruises, getting their head bashed in every snap of an NFL game. And the guy that's supposed to be the leader of the offense says, oh, sorry, guys, I need to take myself out. I mean, that in itself, I'm sure Bob had some great insights. We had a great conversation a week ago when I was filling in, and appreciate that opportunity. And I think the other storyline for the Colts this year is the Ursay clan. The sisters and how they manage a NFL franchise now that they are in the forefront. And I think that's going to be an interesting storyline as well.
They're going to be a little more aggressive than their dad was toward the end. And there's no doubt that Chris Ballard, the GM, his job is to say it's on the line. I think that's an understatement.
Oh yeah. He knows
it's under the line.
Yeah, I don't think there's any. I don't think there's any question that they are going to have a more forceful hand in the matter. I hope they're not trigger happy with Steichen, because I think he's done as good as he can do with the hand he's been dealt.
Yeah, he's kind of had his handcuffed. His hand, yeah, he's kind of been handcuffed. I mean, you have what you get, and you have to work with that. He hasn't exactly been given the greatest model to deal with right now, but sometimes that's Bob. Bob's headed out to coach training camp today, so we may not get to hear from him today, but we may have to wait till tomorrow for Bob. But doesn't matter, we've got so much more. As I said, Evan Burns, the co-founder and CEO of the Finnish Long Drink, will be joining us. He's an IU grad, so that's what makes that cool. And while we're having him on to talk, but Chase Briscoe will also be on with us. I think he's got a shot at winning it I think he has a true shot at winning at Indy this weekend, because I mentioned, you know, he won at Pocono. Pocono's a weird track. It's just a triangle of three long straightaways, and it's got very slight banking in the corners, similar to Indianapolis. So Indianapolis is similar in that regard, because you've got two long straightaways with that slight banking. But it'll be very interesting, and boy, oh boy, would that be cool as hell for him to win there. So looking forward to that as well. And, Mr. Evan Burns will be joining us in the next segment. And then we'll have Coach back with us probably for a segment, and Chase Briscoe, and that finishes out the day, but that keeps it up. The Big Ten Media Days are still going right now. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think that the Signetti thing, that'll be old news by the time the Big Ten Media Days are over, I think. Right. But he likes to make sure he leaves his mark, without question.
No, I mean, that's his makeup. There's nothing fake about Coach Sig. That is the way he is, whether he's in front of the microphone discussing things with the media, or he's in front of his team and coaches. I think he's a very straight to the point, no BS, straight shooter. And like I said, I mean, I have a personal relationship with the Brian Haynes, the DC, and however he's described Coach Signetti to me is exactly what you're seeing. So he's not, you know, something different in front of the media than he is in front of his own team and players. And that's the genuine aspect of why his teams have succeeded, because they know what they're getting every day of the year from him as a leader, as a coach, as somebody that's running the ship. And everything that he talks about trickles down through the position coaches and then to the players. And if there's any communication issues from there, he knows where to go. It's the assistant coach that he's going to go to and point out what he needs to hear from him better to communicate to his position, to make sure they understand the routine and what is expected. And that's just the way the man is. I respect every bit of what he has done and how he has done it. And he's not a cup of tea for everybody, but no Big Ten coach, SEC coach, is a cup of tea for everybody. I mean, Nick Saban wasn't everyone's cup of tea when he was at Alabama or LSU.
Baby, when you win, you're everybody's flavor. That's just
right. Right. And
hey, I got to hit a break, brother, and we'll get back to this a little later. And I got to stay on track. But we've got Chase Briscoe a little later on. But up next, Evan Burns, the co-founder and CEO of the Finish Drink, the Long Drink, an IU grad, joins us. We're back with more from the Hard Truth Distilling Company studios right after these messages.
Know a team or group needing a fundraiser? Boost Fundraising raises more money faster and offers the most unique and user-friendly online fundraiser in the nation. Your team receives personalized fundraising pages for each team member. Free team-branded promo gifts shipped to each donor. Boost Fundraising does it all. Sports teams, marching bands, charity causes, and community groups. Go to BoostFundraising.com and be sure to enter the promo code COYLE, that's COYLE, to receive a discounted fundraiser.
Located on 325 acres in beautiful Brown County, Indiana, Hard Truth Distilling Company is the biggest and the best craft distillery around. While Hard Truth is already known for producing internationally awarded whiskeys and spirits like Hard Truth Sour Mash Bourbons, Sweet Mash, and Hard Road Rye, as well as their cinnamon vodka and the always popular Toasted Coconut Rum, Hard Truth Distillery offers so much more. With a full-service restaurant, ATV and distillery tours, as well as live music, you can spend an entire day at Hard Truth Distillery while making your entire family or group happy. And that's the hard truth. Hard Truth products are available across Indiana as well as many other states. So no matter where you shop, if they don't carry your favorite Hard Truth product, tell them you want the truth, the hard truth. Hard Truth Distilling Company encourages you to enjoy all of their products responsibly and to never drink and drive.
Welcome back to Hard Truth Still & Company Studios on this Thursday, Indiana Sports Beat Radio with Jim Coyle and special guest Evan Burns. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure, man. It's our pleasure. Since I saw this, you guys, when you had the event that happened a while back here in Bloomington at the Upstairs Pub,
yep.
And you had Miles Teller.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow. And he's very popular among the younger people, of course. And oh my God, it was crazy. You know, he was in the Top Gun movie, but I know him from when he made the movie he made about The Godfather, the making of The Godfather.
Oh, sure. Yeah. The TV show. Yeah.
I thought it was cool as hell. And that's so what I knew him from. And I'm like, wow, he was amazing in that. But yeah. But I'm sure that he was very popular with the female sect as well as the male.
Let's put it this way. Both the bars we went to, Kilroy's and Upstairs Pub, were packed to the gills, and people were having a good time, and he was tossing out a lot of long drinks, so it was great.
I'm sure that went well. I've got to tell you, man, for the people that are following us on YouTube, you can see I'm holding a can of the Finnish. This is the Zero Sugar Citrus, 99 calories. I tried it for the first time. I was down in Florida little while back, and I was like, oh my, this is really good. And you want to talk about the perfect complement to poolside, that should just be automatic. But yeah, I'm like, wow. So how did you're an entrepreneur, of course. An IU grad, but an entrepreneur, a great business person, success in the digital media field. How do you end up doing this? Because it just seems like a different direction. But when you're an entrepreneur, I guess you're always looking for opportunities, and they come in different forms at different times.
I mean, look, I don't think I had anything different than the response that you had. I tried the product in Finland. I'm like, this stuff tastes amazing. I thought we should have it here. But the quick backstory is, I met some Finnish folks that were studying abroad, getting their master's in the US, and became friends with them. And they were here for a while, and they went back to Finland, and they said, look, if you're ever in Europe sometime, come visit. So I made some time to go visit people. You know, when people in another country invite you, they'll give you the red carpet tour, if you will. So I showed up, and they had lined up a couple of days of doing all the most stereotypical Finnish things. And it was winter. So we're, you know, eating reindeer. Yeah. I mean, it was very cold, eating reindeer. You know, the word sauna is the only Finnish word we use in English. So they all go in saunas all the time. And so there was a sauna by a lake, and they got a chainsaw and cut a hole in the lake. So you go in the sauna, and then you jump in the hole in the ice, and then go in the sauna, repeat that for an hour. But they're all drinking these long drink things, whether it's at a nice restaurant, dive bar, they drink in saunas, something we should probably adopt in America too. And so they're drinking this long drink, and they tell me this story, how it was invented for the Olympics in 1952. By the government, it became this huge thing in Finland. I thought we should have it here. But the thing that blew me away was the stat that Finns drink more of this thing called long drink than the Irish do of Guinness, which was a shocking stat for me. So we're like, gosh, let's bring it here. And the challenge is it's its own category of alcohol. So like, Jim, how would you describe what it tastes like? It's always hard to describe a new thing.
I was just sitting here thinking that it tastes like a citrus drink. The one I have, but there are five flavors. I know that, but the one I have, it just tastes like a refreshing. It's not overpowering citrus. It's just like everything is exactly right. It's like every ingredient is at the level that it's supposed to be. It's hard to describe.
It's hard to describe. Yeah.
When I was telling the folks when I was down in Florida, refresh good is the first thing I said, but just refreshing keeps coming to mind. Refreshing, refreshing, refreshing. It just tastes refreshing. But man, I have not had any of the other flavors. I've only seen this one so far, and I found them both. Not to give Sam's a free plug, but hey, what the heck, they're carrying it, so that's where I found it. But yeah, it's good. That's why I got reached out. I'm like, going, Man, this stuff's good. I've got to reach out to him. But with the IU connection makes it
yeah, for sure.
a perfect tie-in. But, yeah, man, it seems this – and you guys have gotten this – how long have this been going on? Because your distribution is in place.
And we launched it 7 years ago, and you brought up Miles Teller earlier. We launched it. We launched it in a little bit of New York City and a few places on the East Coast just to see what people like it, what Americans like it as much as those Finns who go crazy for it. And Miles Teller – who doesn't really get involved in a lot of brand promotions. He really likes to focus on being an actor, being the best actor you can be. He walked into a liquor store in New York City that a couple of my Finnish co-founders were in doing a sampling. It was like, kind of like you're saying, Jim, like if you taste it, you can get it. It's very hard to explain. So we just spent as much time as we can on giving people a chance to try it. And he was like, I love this. And unbeknownst to us, he had his manager start buying it, having it bought in stores in New York and shipped to California in LA where he lives in Hollywood. And over and over and over again, eventually they reached out and said, look, we'd love to partner up on this because he just loved to drink like we did. So that kind of got that started. And he's been a good partner and promoter of it since. But the distribution wise, you know, the past 7 years we've been launching state by state, got Indiana a couple of years ago. And I think we're sold in about 2,500 spots around the state, kind of all the major chains and all that. So it's been pretty fun, but it was great when we brought Miles down to Bloomington. You know, he's a huge sports fan. Unfortunately, more of a East Coast sports fan, Philly sports guy, but we won't hold up against him. But he came down there and had a great time and, you know, signed a bunch of stuff. And, you know, the cool things, he just likes that. He'd rather be doing that than doing, you know, stuff in LA or New York or whatever, which I really like.
Probably a lot more fun doing that.
Yeah, exactly.
First of all, now it's something he has a vested interest in being a part of it, but it's also so different because you're not promoting a movie and all the same old questions that come along with that. He's a pretty popular draw. So it all works in very, very well together, but yeah, I get it. It affected me the same way. I'm like, I immediately started reaching out to Kirby, and saying, I need to get Evan on here, man. the IU tie-in was what caught my attention. But once I actually tried it, I was like, oh, hell. And because I'd already started this process before I even had gotten to try it.
Oh, that's so cool. We have this thing where we call it the long drink face. So when somebody who hasn't tried it tries long drink the first time, it's no matter where you're at, you're in California, you're in Maine, you're in Florida, this weird thing happens where everybody's face, and you got to think about it, it's a food, right? It's a drink. So their face is always confused. Well, what the heck's a long drink? And they need this little sip. And there's a kind of a splash of surprise. It's different than what they thought, really refreshing. And then they smile, a big old smile of delight. And they generally turn to their friends and be like, you got to try this. And so it's that thing that happens over and over and over again, that long drink face moment. So we just tell people to try it.
I'm surprised that it had not happened before, because we see it like Guinness or whatever other from different places around the world, drinks get popular. How has this escaped that until, you know, within the last
you
7 years?
You tell me, man. Like when I met these guys from Finland and finally went over, I asked the same question, like, how is this not in the US? And you know, they chuckled and said, we ask ourselves the same thing. I was like, let's just do some old fashioned American entrepreneurship. And they came over here and we got some American investors involved and off we went. But I asked the same thing. I'm like, how can that be?
I mean, if you're sitting anywhere, anytime, but I would not imagine ever being on a beach or by a pool without having a cooler full of this and only this.
Golf course.
Oh, exactly. Dude, I was thinking about it the other day. I played in a bunch of events recently, and I'm like, whoo, I wish I had some long drink.
Oh, you know, great. Miles Teller, when he became an investor and partner in the business, he ended up, you know, introducing to a lot of his friends, you know, a lot of folks that are good athletes, other movie stars, whatever. And Ricky Fowler, the golfer, became a big fan, became a big investor also. So, you know, he was part of helping get into a lot of golf courses and promoting it. So, you know, crazily enough, I think we're in like, I can't remember the number, but it's somewhere like 3,500 or 4,000 golf courses around the country and just sell a heck of a ton of it. But there is another version of that can you've got, Jim. And the can color is black and it's 8.5%. And that's one of the bigger sellers on the golf course. But you got to watch out though, because the joke is it drinks like a Sprite, but it kicks like a whiskey.
That's I can imagine. We've got to work on getting you at the Bloomington Country Club then, because that's the first thing I was looking at yesterday. I'm like, nope, didn't see it. So we'll have
to give them a hard time.
Oh, don't worry. That will be coming up. I assure you. And it would probably be very, very popular there or anywhere, to be honest with you. It is. Yeah. Golf course is great because guys out there, you're always needing something refreshing, and sometimes they like something refreshing and has a kick to it, so to speak. And, but yeah, it would be in my, my cooler. That's for a fact.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Are you a golfer, by the way?
I can golf. I'm certainly not great at golf.
Okay. Well, let's see that. There are so many of us that fit into that category.
Exactly.
that is my bubble, baby. Oh boy, can I, but, it's going to be fun, but it may, the scorecard may be a little late. What is this? So being an entrepreneur, that means you've been doing a lot of different things, but this is obviously huge and it's been rolling for a process that started 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. To be where you guys are, how did you grow so fast? I mean, to have the distribution, to be in all these places, all that, that amount of golf courses, that's nuts, because that's strictly through distributors, because you can't try to reach all those individual golf courses. You can't do that. So obviously
that's right.
But golf course is a great place to do that.
That's right. Look, it's funny. We talk a lot about the Bill Walsh book, The Score Takes Care of Itself. And you know, you just got to block and tackle every day. What are those things you got to be doing? What are those, you know, you literally track how many accounts are we in? How many different versions do we have in an account? How many accounts do we have, that big old display you walk into? Just like when you walk into a liquor store and you see a giant pile of you know, Busch Light or Bud Light or whatever, like, we want to be that too. And so every day we're tracking how are we getting more and more and more of those. And then, you know, we got a lucky break a few years ago where we got a big national distribution partnership with the same guys that do things like Casamigos and those brands. And so they helped get us into like the Walmarts and the Targets and the Sams and the Costcos and CVS's and all those big chains. That was a big break also. But it's just, look, it's just daily blocking and tackling. I there's there's no easy route. I wish there was.
Well, no, especially because I'm just thinking this is one of the more difficult areas to break into, because totally. there has never been a time where we have not had more options out there.
Exactly.
For everything. Totally. I was out yesterday and shopping, and where I picked up two cases of this because I did not want to run out.
it's the weekend almost.
I was looking at all the options, and I'll throw out, I don't care, I'll throw all the names. Michelob Ultra Zero Calorie, and the Smirnoff drink zero calorie, and it's but then all the different type of seltzers that have just come along and keep coming.
It's crazy.
And so to break into that market and be successful, I mean, it's a 1% thing to have, it seems like.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe. Like, I think, honestly, like, we've seen a lot of folks come and go, but we're just trying to, like I said, just, like, focus on doing the right stuff and compounding that over time. But I think you're right. I mean, there's a lot of folks that come out with things that the challenge, though, and it goes back to this thing they invented in Finland in 1952, is lost stuff doesn't taste good. I mean, how many times do you pick up something at the grocery store and you try it, like, man, this tastes like garbage? And so I think a lot of times these big companies, they come out and they make something for money to try to get that quarterly profit instead of making something that they like and that tastes good.
I will tell you that I fell victim of nice marketing. I don't care, I'll say it. Corona has a new beer out that's like a citrus, and I'm like, oh, that sounds perfect. You don't have to worry about putting the lime in.
Sure, right.
Oh my God.
All in one.
Sorry, but I felt it was garbage. I'm like, oh, I left it. I'm like, here, you can have all of that. Not good.
It, I tell you,
but this was the very minute I was like, wow. So, and I don't get that effect on very often. And Dave was just asking again what the name of the product is. It's called the Finnish Long Drink. There are what, five different flavors, I think.
Yeah. Look, if anybody wants to go to thelongdrink.com, and it's got all the locations that sell. You can put in your zip code. It shows the different flavors where they're sold. But look, it's kind of all over Indiana. Our distributor partners there have done a great job, and I think we're up like 130, 140% year over year. So a lot of Hoosiers are getting into it right now, which is pretty fun.
Yeah, and that's you're an Indiana native. Where are you from?
Jasper. So not far from Bloomington.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
From Jasper, went to IU, yeah.
Oh, we got a lot of listeners down in that area as well. Man, big beer drinking community there with the Germans, with the Germans about. But I'm sure are you at Sultan's Run? I don't know. You may not
know. That's a good question. I don't know. I'll have to look into that. I hope so.
That if not, has we'll to happen. Dude, are you kidding me?
I know. I should know that. I kind of feel like we probably are, but if not, we're going to make that happen soon.
Not only that, you should come down and do a golf event there.
Yeah, for sure.
I know the Evansville Area IU Alumni Association has their golf event there every year.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I missed that this year, but
it's a great course.
Yeah, it's an unbelievably beautiful course. Great sports town. Scotty Rowland from there,
yeah, exactly.
Who lives here in Bloomington now.
For
there's
sure.
A guy there. That's somebody you need to.
That's a good point. That's a great idea.
I'm Body right is down. He and Sylvester. He is a co-owner of a restaurant in Florida, by the way.
Really?
We need to talk. I got some information I dole out to you. Not that I'm Mr. Marketing, but there's just several videos. Because when I fall in love with something, I'm like, oh, I take a grab to it. It's like
I appreciate
responsibility.
Yeah.
But absolutely.
I feel you.
There's just so many cool things that this works, but the end result is it's just damn good, period.
I'm with you. I mean, that's why I said let's bring it to the U.S. to my Finnish buddies. We're like, how's nobody done this since 1952? It's kind of crazy. So one of our big marketing slogans is it's Finland's best kept secret, which it is.
Well, and the fact that this thing was created just for the Olympics,
yep.
It's one of those great stories. There's the great story that the French Lick Resort has. I forget what was supposedly created there. There's some drink that supposedly evolved out of there, and I can't remember what it is.
Yeah.
It may have involved tomato juice, but I've got to go back. My brain is not – I can't keep all that information in. It just squeezes out. But no, this is seriously in that same deal. And French Lick, are you down at French Lick Resort?
We are. Yeah, we're still at the venue there, right off the casino that where they had the concerts and whatnot. I did Google that.
Yeah.
It says French Lick invented tomato juice in 1917, which like that's surprising.
That's what I guess that's it.
You said tomato juice, but it almost seems kind of crazy. Yeah, like that they invented.
Oh, it's the silliest stuff in the world, and but
that's a great spot too. Great golf courses around there. Like, incredible.
Oh my God, that Pete Dye course. The Pete Dye course is so beautiful. I would love to just walk around that thing barefooted. It's so nice.
Do some grounding, yeah.
The Donald Ross course, if I never play that course again the rest of my life, I will be fine. It's not that the course is terrible. It's the golfer, not the golf course, because those greens are like, oh my God, I don't even want to talk.
Unforgiving.
It's nuts. But when were you? So, where are you based out of now? Are
Miami.
You still in Carmel? Oh, you're in Miami.
Yeah, I went. So, when COVID happened, I went down there.
Oh, well, of course. Well, I don't blame you.
But you spent some time in Florida too, it sounds like, yeah?
Going back a little bit in a little bit just for a weekend. But there's so many. The amazing thing is we have so many listeners in Florida via social media. They're our third largest state, which there's so many IU grads down there for one thing.
Totally.
Lots of sports fans down there, but all over the place. So what are you doing now? What's new? What's next for the evolution of this, or is it just to continue to grow it?
Yeah, it's going to continue to grow. I mean, like, the past few years is all then how do you get it sold at everybody's local restaurant, a local bar, and their local grocery or liquor store? We're at about 52,000 places in the country. We need to be at about 80,000. So we're trying to get those 80,000 places. And again, the spots that it's sold on today are on thelongdrink.com. And then two, it's like starting to build more of that brand awareness. Like Jimmy, you were saying, you're like, how did I not know about this? How did we not know about it? So we're starting to do more of the marketing, more of the branding, more tasting events at grocery stores. So we're just kind of, again, going back to that score takes care of itself. Just working on those things we can control, tastings, getting in grocery stores, getting in bars, and And hopefully that keeps compounding, because luckily people like it. They try it, they like it. They're like, they keep saying what you said. Why didn't we have this in America for the past 70 years?
Well, and Mike, what was the question I had? Because it is so good, and it was created for the Olympics. How it did not migrate sooner, but it seems so simple.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Again, that's why it's hard to explain. You know, I hear a lot of people say it tastes like Fresca or Squirt, but, you know, with a little bit of a kick. Yeah, I to this day, I can't answer that question. And my Finnish co-founders can't either. Why'd the long drink not come here before that? So who knows?
Grapefruit and juniper berry flavors, people. You can't beat that. Are you kidding me? It is amazing. And all of them are not zero sugar, I'm going to assume. Or are they?
They're not. There's some. It's kind of like Coke and Diet Coke. We have both options. People can choose what they want.
Yes. It's all right. So, and I asked you a minute ago, and I don't remember if I really got allowed you to finish, but so where, what's next? What are you doing?
Yeah.
I know distribution is always a huge thing, but there's always evolution, but
yeah,
being that that's still how getting this thing, getting things to be known to people.
Like
right now I've got the banner up, the Finnish long drink. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know how they came up with that name, but it's incorrect. It's not a long drink because they go down too damn well too fast. it should be called the short drink.
the quick drink. When we launched it, you know, it's in these regular 12-ounce cans. So the new thing, to answer your question, is we launched a tall can. So, you know, like Tall Boy beer, 19.2. So we launched that in the traditional flavor from Finland, the zero sugar flavor like you have, and then the 8.5%, which is strong. So that 8.5% tall boy is really, really, you got to watch out for that one.
Those
are rolling out everywhere.
To get people that don't know it, haven't tried it, how, besides what we're doing here,
right,
and me telling people that, hey, you don't hear me raving about stuff unless I'm raving. If I'm raving about it, there's a damn reason. It's like the same thing I do with sports. Hey, if an Indiana team sucks, guess what? I'm going to beat that drum that they suck.
When they're great,
I'm going to say, man, they're great. They're kicking it in the butt. And this is the deal. Man, so what is next for the Finnish long drink?
That's what I was saying. Like, we're launching these tall boy cans all around the country right now, and people are loving them. So, you know, golfing, picking up at the convenience store, whatever that might be. So we're kind of in a big push to launch that while doing a ton of marketing, tons of Miles Teller type events, promotions, tastings. We're doing like 1,000-some tastings at Walmart over the course of the next few months all around the country. So again, like, you asked the question, like, how do you explain it? And I asked you, really, how do you explain it? Like, I don't know. And it's like, I don't really know either. It's hard. We just tell people, like, this thing is huge in Finland. They drink more of it than the Irish do of Guinness. I don't know why they kept it from us from all the years, but we want it's, you know, Babel across
the country. Look how healthy the Finnish people are.
They are thin. They are healthy. They play a lot of sports and they love drinking long drinks. So I just tell people, go out and give it a shot. And, you know, we did a study once, 91% of people who try it, 91 like it. So pretty good chance that if you try it, you'll like it. But it's hard to explain. It's its own thing.
That is a fact. It is weird in the sense of being able to try to explain it. It's like, it's good, just keeps coming out, it's really good.
Imagine if you hadn't ever heard of beer before and you try to explain beer. What's beer? Beer's beer. Like, there's no like, long drink is its own category of alcohol. You go to Finland, there's a beer aisle, there's a wine aisle, there's a spirits aisle, and there's a long drink aisle. So it's hard to, like, wine's wine. What's wine? Well, it's wine. Long drink. So you just gotta go out and try.
Is it considered I said it earlier, like a those seltzer, everyone has a seltzer. Is it considered that, or is it different?
It's technically its own thing. Yeah, that's why it's tough. So it's like, in Finland, like I was saying, there might be a seltzer aisle, but that's separate than the long drink aisle.
Yeah, it is. It's exceptional, man. I first of all, congratulations for being smart enough and quick enough to see that and grab onto that. But to be able to create that in this day and age, you know, I used to watch the Shark Tank and I would just for anything to do, but I would pick up stuff about, you know, getting into different market brands and trying to break into this and shelf space and this and that. And, you know, I don't, that's not my milieu obviously, but I try to be smart enough to listen and pay attention to those things to learn. And, that's why I know how tough it has to be in this day and age, to especially when you're not part of a major brand already. That's the thing that they have going for them. They can just throw out another brand, whatever. Oh, it's
totally
something, whatever.
Tons of money at it. Yeah. Yeah, that, it's tough.
If it didn't
taste good, it wouldn't work. Like all the mistakes we've made and all the lack of resources we had, like it just comes back to there's a cool story and it tastes good. And people like me, a ton of fans like you. I'm just a fan. I tried it in Finland. I was like, we got to have this year. So it just comes back to that. If people make something that tastes good and that's authentic, generally your fans will like it. And so we're trying to just do that.
Man, and you've done a hell of a job with it. And I'm telling you, if you don't try this, you're doing yourself a disservice. The finished long drink. I found it at Sam's. I did see it in Kroger here the other day as well, but it's in liquor stores. It's when I was in Florida, we bought them out. We went back for more.
Sam's was gone. Yeah, they sold out.
And I was like, I was pissed. I'm not going to tell you, because I had like five more days left and I couldn't find it. I was pissed. I didn't want anything else after that. I'm like, no, I want that. I said, that was so good. I want that.
You know, we had a big red downtown Bloomington. We had a big old display of like 400 six packs or so towards the end of the school year. And I think there's still we obviously sold out in Refresher. There's still quite a good availability there. But yeah, like I said, if anyone wants to go to thelongdrink.com, you can put in your zip code and it shows all the bars and restaurants and liquor stores and grocery stores that sold out all around Indiana.
Well, I'll definitely put that up as well, man. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking the time to join us. I know your schedule is crazy. Big thanks to Kirby, who helped us make this happen, and grateful. And, man, you're welcome to come on anytime.
Appreciate it, man.
To talk about what's going on, because I love it. Like I said, I've got Chase Briscoe on today. You may not know who he is. Very successful NASCAR driver.
Of course, yeah.
Right down the road in Mitchell, Indiana.
100%, yeah.
I think he has got a big shot at winning at Indy this weekend, but great guy. Boy, that would be a great combo. I can see,
that's also true.
Can you imagine seeing that car coming down the Daytona or Indianapolis Motor Speedway with the finished long drink right on the hood of that thing?
I totally can. I grew up in one of those NASCAR houses where you get home from church and all of a sudden the pre-race is on and, you know, it's on all day long.
Really?
So, yeah, absolutely.
I would not have taken you for a NASCAR guy.
My dad was a massive NASCAR guy. And so I it's like ingrained in me. Like, you get home from church, pre-race is on, of course the race is starting. So
same difference. When I was a kid, I didn't have a choice but to know who Richard Petty was. I had no option. I'm like, what is this? There was
Rusty Wallace. On. Yeah. All these guys. Yep.
So, but you guys are doing one hell of a job, man. Congratulations. I love to see it and look forward to doing this again.
Awesome, Jim. Thanks for having me on, man. It was really fun. I'll hit you up when I'm in Bloomington.
What's that?
I'll hit you up when I'm in Bloomington.
Absolutely, man. We'll play some golf and drink some long drink, man.
All right, man. Have a great day.
Evan Burns, the CEO and co-founder of The Finished Long Drink. You can find it pretty much everywhere, and all if you're around here in Bloomington at the Big Red Liquors, but all around Sam's. I've found it at Sam's and all the Kroger's, all your grocery stores. Make sure you go out and try it. Appreciate you, Evan. Have a great day.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Indiana Sports Beat Radio on this Thursday. I hope you're having a great day. Just finished up with Evan Burns from The Long Drink. He's an IU grad, but it's fun talking to people about different things in life. So looking forward to that. Coach will join us again later. We're going to hear from Chase Briscoe here in just a little bit, who is lining up at the Brickyard 400 this weekend. He is coming off of back-to-back second-place finishes, and he's having one hell of a season. So looking forward to this weekend and see how that goes. And let's see if we can get this going right now. Chase Briscoe has taken the time to join us. Chase, thank you so much as always. You have always been so kind to me and always given us your time.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure. Congrats. Also, I remember the last time I saw you a year ago here at Bloomington, the Motor Speedway, you, I think your daughter was pregnant with twins.
Three-and-a-half-year-old all of a sudden having, you know, one kid to three. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. The twins actually just started growing this past week, so life's been a little chaotic the past couple of days, but certainly, you know, been a lot of fun.
I can imagine so. You're getting your own pit crew together there.
Yeah, we're halfway to the basketball team
now. Yeah. Things are going really well. You had the opportunity to race for your hero, of course, Tony Stewart. And unfortunately, Stuart Haas went away. But when I heard you landed at Joe Gibbs to take Martin Truex's car, I'm like, he could not have landed in a better spot, because that is one of the most well-run organizations in NASCAR, competitive. And Martin Truex left that car ready to go, and you have taken over and just jump-started. First race of the year, the Daytona 500, and you're on the pole. Man, that's how you start a season off.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, when Stuart Haas shut down, it was a pretty scary, you know, couple of days, just not knowing what was going to end up even happening, if I was going to have a job or not. You know, especially at that point, having twins on the way, definitely need to have a job. So, yeah, I have a couple of days later, have Coach Gibbs to call me and, you know, tell me that the 19 car was going to be available and that they would, you know, like to have me drive it. It was, you know, a dream come true. And truthfully, you know, as bad as it was that Stuart Haas shut down, it was kind of the best thing that could have happened to you know, just my career in general, being able to get in, you know, to that 19 race car. It's one of the powerhouse organizations and powerhouse teams. And, you know, I think the results have kind of showed that over the course of the season. So, yeah, to be able to go to the Daytona 500 first race of the year and sit on the pole there and have a good run, and to already be able to get in victory lane, it's been a lot of fun. So hopefully can do it again this weekend.
Well, speaking of victory lane, that happened at Pocono, of course, a track that has some similarities to Indianapolis with the easy banking in the corners, low banking in the corners, and those long run straightaways. And I heard you say you're going to be bringing your Pocono car to Indy this week. So that's got to be a very positive vibe going into this race.
For sure. I mean, Pocono is the one track I would say that is somewhat at least similar to Indianapolis. You know, there's really nothing that compares that to Indianapolis. But, you know, if you had to pick one track on the schedule, I would say Pocono is the only one you could maybe make some comparisons to. And, you know, for us to be able to have the speed we did at Pocono and obviously be able to win the race, the confidence that comes along with that is really, really nice. So hopefully, you know, that we'll have the same result. You know, like you said, we are bringing the same race car. So hopefully it can go back to back. No better place to win than right here at Indianapolis. It would be in the world to me for sure.
Oh, I can only imagine how, I mean, have you taken the time to think about that, or is that something that you don't even want to do to think about winning at Indianapolis? You know, that it was like, I think it was 20 years ago this year that Tony Stewart won there, but it's just the speedway, the history. I know that you growing up in this state, whether you drive IndyCar, it doesn't matter. It's just such a historic place, a great venue. Getting the race there is awesome, but to win there, have you even thought about what that would really feel like?
Yeah, you know, truthfully, I don't ever think about it, you know, at any other racetrack, but Indianapolis Motor Speedway, I've definitely thought about what it would feel like to win the Brickyard 400. I mean, even last week, I was just driving down the road and got goosebumps thinking about it. So, I've been fortunate enough to win here one time, but it was during COVID and there was nobody here, so it's like you didn't really even get the full experience. So, would absolutely love to win the Brickyard. You know, it's, if I could pick any race on the entire schedule to win, it would be the Brickyard 400. It's the one that's the most important to me. You know, it's prestigious. It might not be the most prestigious in our sport, but for me, from a personal standpoint, I would put it above the Daytona 500, just what it means to me personally. So, would love nothing more than to win here this weekend and do it with my family here, and my friends, and a lot of fans that, in truth, don't get to see me anywhere else. So, yeah, a lot of pressure this weekend, but looking forward to seeing what we can do with it.
And it's a tough track. I mean, all of these tracks are so different and so difficult. As a matter of fact, if you don't follow Chase, which you should be, but anyway, he's finished second in the last 2 weeks at two completely different tracks. And unfortunately, at Sonoma, you had an incredible run, but it was like playing golf against Scotty Scheffler that day with – Shane Van Gisbergen. He has just been a terror on those tracks, and you had an incredible run, but he was just a little bit faster that day. But yeah, again, like I said, that's like playing golf against Scottie Scheffler on a road course.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. I haven't heard that one. Yeah, definitely felt like I shot 15 under. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. These last couple of weeks have been, you know, really, really good for our race team. You know, I think out of the last 5 weeks, three of them we finished first or second. So we've been really, really good from a speed standpoint. You know, hopefully we can carry that on. You know, we're kind of hitting our stride at the right part of the season. You know, the playoffs start, I think, in 5 weeks. So you need to be getting good right about right now, and we've been really, really strong. So hopefully can do it another week. And like I said earlier, there's just no better week to do it, at least from a personal standpoint, than this weekend. So hopefully we can do that.
And last week at Dover, you guys didn't get to practice because of the weather. And so how difficult is it going out on a track like that? I know it's a smaller track, but I heard everybody talking about how it's like a roller coaster. You come out of one of the turns and it's just a 24-foot drop down, and just a completely different style track.
Yeah, Dover is definitely, I would say, the hardest one to, if there's any racetrack to go to with no practice, no qualifying, just first lap of the race is your first lap in the car. You know, I feel like Dover is probably the hardest one just because of, first off, how physically demanding it is. But even from a setup standpoint, like you were saying, I mean, you literally kind of drop down in the corner. It's like a 20-foot drop just because of the banking and everything else. So it's extremely challenging from just a setup standpoint. You know, you're running 180-something miles an hour around a one-mile racetrack. It's just really, really extreme from every aspect possible. But, yeah, it was you know, good for our race team. Truthfully, I feel like that's where our race team kind of shines, is at these racetracks that are, you know, just really technical, and where, you know, the sim and all the engineering kind of comes to the forefront. I just feel like Joe Gibbs Racing does a really good job of being ahead of the curve on a lot of that stuff, and that's why I think you saw – you know, truthfully, all four of our cars, even in the top five or top six at one point, just because we are so good at doing those types of things. And, you know, whenever you don't have practice and other teams don't have the ability to work on their car, it just makes us kind of be leaps and bounds better a lot of the time.
And talk about the difficulty of driving a NASCAR stock car at Indianapolis versus Indy. Those cars are so much lower. There's so much, they don't rely on that banking as much. The NASCAR cars are much heavier, and the banking is sure nice to have, but you don't have that at Indianapolis. What is the trick to driving that monster track?
Yeah, Indianapolis is a super challenging racetrack. You know, it's four corners. They look all four the exact same when you look at it from above or, you know, on paper, but they all four drive so drastically different. You know, each one kind of takes a certain thing you have to do with your technique. And, you know, even from a setup standpoint, it's just a very, very hard racetrack. And then, you know, the temperature really plays a role in the racetrack here. I mean, we see it every year, you know, Indy 500 qualifying, just how much a cloud can make a difference and whatnot. So this track is just extremely, extremely hard. I mean, it's a test of man versus machine. And you see that whether it's NASCAR cars or, you know, Indy cars or whatever races here, it's just such a challenging racetrack because of the configuration that it is and the speed you're running and the lack of banking. So it's always a challenge every time you come here, but hopefully our team will be able to you know, handle the challenge better than anybody else.
Well, it has certainly been hot here, and I'm trying to look up the weather to see what it's going to be like. I haven't yet, as long as the most important thing, of course, is keeping the rain away. But heat seems to make the track slicker, is that right?
Yeah, for sure. The hotter it is, it's definitely slicker on the racetrack. And, you know, this track, like I was saying, is just extremely sensitive to the heat. So yeah, the hotter it is, the more we'll be slipping and sliding around. It's obviously going to be hot inside the race car. You know, if it's 100 degrees outside, it's roughly 130 something degrees in our car. So it'll be a challenging race this weekend. You know, the rain definitely is kind of hit or miss right now, but it's going to be hot. I mean, it's Indiana in July, so, you know, with me at least being from here, I kind of know what to expect. But a lot of guys, I think it can catch them off guard, just the humidity here and how hot it really can feel.
Yeah, it's going to be 90 degrees and sunny, just to give you a little boost for Sunday. So that sounds like it should be good conditions, and really looking forward to that. How has it been when you have to go to a different organization to make the change? How are you able to make that change and do so well from the start right off the jump, as we talked about earlier, winning the pole at the Daytona 500.
Yeah, I mean, this comes down to, you know, the cars, truthfully. Like, you know, Ken Harvick used to tell me all the time, you can't drive a slow race car fast. And, you know, the Jimmy's racing cars are just so fast. It seems like everywhere we go, there's really only been, you know, I would say two races all year long. I didn't feel like we had a shot at some point to win the race. And, you know, they just do such a good job of being prepared and knowing what to bring to the racetrack. So it makes my job a lot easier because you don't have to try as hard. You can almost run a little bit under the edge. And you're still going to go faster than a majority of the field. So it just makes everything easier for you inside the race car. So it's been a lot of fun. I know for me to get to drive these cars, it, you know, reminds me a lot of kind of the lower series when you're coming up through the trucks and Xfinity series. This is how, you know, it's just easier to put yourself in position to be up front and win these races where, you know, in the past, Stuart Haas, I felt like I had to, you know, be at 110% all the time. And even then, I still was trying to play catch-up, where now I can run at 90%. I'm still going to be faster than the large majority of the field. So it's definitely a lot of fun for me just to be in these race cars and hopefully can be in them for a really long time.
You mentioned Kevin Harvick. You've been in this. How long have you been in the series now? Is this your fourth season?
This is my fifth season in the Cup Series. So, yeah, I'm getting the – Getting more and more experience every year. Finally,
you're like a veteran now, man. With all the kids out there, it seems like there's so many young guys in this sport that do so well. It's kind of amazing when people look back in the older days. It was the guys, older drivers were stuck around longer, but now it's become a younger man's sport, like everything else. And it's wild to see those younger guys do so well.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, just kids keep getting younger and younger when they're starting and running different divisions. And even, you know, at the Cup Series level, you know, I'm kind of in this weird spot where, even from an age standpoint, I'm kind of in the middle of everybody. But from an experience standpoint, you know, for my age, I'm probably a little behind the curve. You know, Chase Elliott is, I think he's 29, but he's coming up on 10 years of Cup racing, right? And William Byron's only 25 or 26, and he's been in Cup for 7-8 years. So, yeah, it's definitely became kind of a young man's sport, you know. There's even 18, 19-year-olds now in the Cup Series, which is crazy. You know, I didn't get my start until I was 25 or 26. So, yeah, it's definitely changing a lot. But that's where you just have to continue to work and grind and put all the effort in. You know, definitely continue to get better week in and week out.
Well, you're absolutely making up for lost time. That's for sure with the success you are currently having. You mentioned Kevin Harvick. Who are any other drivers that you talk to for advice, whether it's at for a track or whatever the case may be?
Yeah, I mean, Kevin is somebody that at Stuart Haas Racing, I definitely leaned on a lot, you know, just with him being there, being the veteran guy, and even Andrew Calamarola, somebody that, you know, I used a lot at Stuart Haas, and even now he's at Jugend Racing as well, and kind of like a driver consultant. So I talked to Eric a lot about just different things and bounce ideas off of him, and even Tony, you know, I'll still talk to Tony now, every now and again, and just ask him little things. But you know, outside of that, I would say those are kind of the core guys. You know, now being on a new team, I talked to Christopher Bell quite a bit just because he is a teammate. You know, he grew up racing sprint cars. I grew up racing sprint cars. We kind of have that same background and same driving style and can relate to a lot of things. But I would say those are kind of the core guys that typically, if I have a question, that's who I'm going to go to.
I saw a picture when I was pulling up some various pictures. You can't see anything that I'm putting up, but I'm going to put this up right now. I have a picture of you throwing out the first pitch at Wrigley Field of a Chicago Cubs baseball game. And the first thing I notice is, because I know that every time they do that, they tell people, don't go up on the mound, stand in front of the mound. And here's Chase up on the rubber. Look like you're uncorking a four-seam fastball, man. You had a little league baseball career, I'm going to assume.
Yeah, I definitely played a lot of baseball as a kid growing up. You know, my dad was always at the racetrack, and I didn't really start racing until I was 12, 13 years old. So I played a ton of, you know, travel ball and little league ball as a kid. And yeah, for me, it was pretty dang cool to be able to go to Wrigley Field and, you know, throw out the first pitch. You know, as a kid, I wanted to be a professional baseball player. That was like my thing, right? And every kid, I think, kind of dreams of that. You know, you're out in the yard and, you know, imagining it's Game 7 World Series and you're out there pitching. So for me to be able to go to Wrigley Field and stand on the mound and, you know, just, you know, be in a major league uniform and throw out a pitch is pretty cool. I by far the most nervous I've ever been in my entire life. And I was glad it was a strike. But yeah, it was a lot of fun to do that. It's a super cool opportunity for sure.
More nervous than when you drive?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's the first pitch is honestly a no-win situation because if you do it right, you know, nobody truthfully really sees it other than maybe your friends and your family. But if you do it wrong, it's on SportsCenter within 20 minutes. It's really a no-win situation.
Yeah, I cannot imagine taking this. And you took the mound. Did they tell you not to stand out in front?
They kind of gave me the option. If I was going to do it, I wanted to go to the mound. I wanted to do the real deal.
Absolutely.
So, I'm actually throwing out the first pitch tonight of the Indianapolis Indians game, too. So hopefully I can at least back it up. I'm going to try to throw this one a little bit harder. It probably won't be a strike, but I'm at least going to go to the mound again and see what I can do.
That's awesome, man. That is incredible. Man, I know you got to get going. You got a lot to take care of this week. Your sister is getting married this week. She perfectly timed that with the Indianapolis or the Brickyard 400 at Indianapolis coming up this weekend. So you have got a lot going on.
Yeah, for sure on that. I don't know if I timed it right. I think I got fortunate that my sister was willing to move her wedding day just so I could be here. But yeah, it's going to be a fun week, you know, just being able to just spend time with all my family and, you know, obviously celebrate my sister and her getting married. So yeah, looking forward to a fun weekend ahead. Hopefully I can cap it off with a win at the Brickyard.
Now, do you have a college sports team that you follow? I don't. You're close to IU. I'm not sure if you're an IU fan or other.
Yeah, as a kid, I always loved Butler. Butler was always my team, even before they were good. You know, back in AJ Graves days, even I was always a Butler fan. And, you know, truthfully, as I've gotten older, I've kind of fallen off the college sports thing. I mean, I still watch, but I don't have a team I necessarily cheer for. Where in my high school days, I mean, I was a diehard Butler fan, watched every single game. Now I'm so busy I don't get to watch as much, but yeah, really any Indiana team anymore, I just kind of cheer for them.
Ironically, I was in a golf event on Monday and I played with Barry Collier. I didn't play with him, but he was in the Barry Collier, the former Butler coach and athletics director, was there. So that was very cool to meet him.
Heck yeah.
Well, I know you have a lot going on. What's next on your schedule? When do you get to the track? Because you've got so much happening. Your schedule is going to be locked. I think you guys practice and qualify on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, this week we actually practice on Friday, so I'll be up there Friday and we'll practice. You know, as long as the weather's good, and then rush back to do the wedding, and then back up Saturday morning for, you know, qualifying and stay up here through the weekend, and then obviously your race on Sunday. So definitely come on out. Should be you know, hopefully a great weekend. Looking forward to seeing everybody.
Absolutely. Get out and support Chase Briscoe from Mitchell, Indiana. Already a winner this season. You're headed to the playoffs. That has to be a huge relief as well.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely after, you know, winning Pocono, I felt about 100 pounds lighter just knowing that we were in the playoffs. It's a super stressful time, you know, just being kind of around that cut line. And, you know, the whole reason you race every season is to try to win the championship. And if you don't make the playoffs, you obviously can't do that. So, yeah, there's a ton that goes into just obviously trying to make those playoffs, and for us to be able to do it finally was certainly a huge relief.
Well, Brody, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you again as well. You've always been incredible, and I look forward to doing this again as your career continues to skyrocket and going as fast as you're going, winning these polls, man.
Heck yeah, man, I appreciate it. Hopefully we're talking next weekend about a Brickyard 400 win.
Well, you know what? If you win, we will be talking, brother. I appreciate you. You enjoy it, and have a great one.
Yeah, thank you, too.
Thank you, Chase. I appreciate you.
Yeah, see you, man. Thank you.
You bet. Chase Briscoe joining us here on Indiana Sports Beat Radio. We're back with more from the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios right after these messages. Well, didn't have any sound there. Apologize for that. That's my fault. I don't know why that did not unmute, but welcome back to the Hard Truth Distilling Company Studios, Indiana Sports Beat Radio with Jim Coyle and Coach Griff rejoining us. But I've just finished up a fun interview with Chase Briscoe.
Oh, yeah, I listened to
running at Indianapolis this weekend, and he just seems so relaxed. Sounds like a longtime veteran, although his fifth season. But he seems like he's just been around forever, especially in a sport that has gotten so young. It's mind-boggling how that sport has really morphed from veteran personality-driven guys to these young guys that nobody really knows about. You can't it's different, but he's kind of a throwback, but man, I hope he wins. I really hope he wins at Indianapolis this weekend. He's got to be one of the favorites. He's bringing his Pocono car, which they won in there at Pocono, but it's like anything. It doesn't matter if this is the NCAA basketball championship or football. It does. You've got always got to have a little luck.
Oh yeah. Especially in the NASCAR circuit. I mean, and or the Indy 500, it's all about, you know, where are you at with that, you know, 50 laps to go, 20 laps to go. I mean, you've got to have the luck and a car that can sustain the beating that it will take, especially, you know, on all the tracks that they run. Now, Indianapolis is different. You don't see as much passing as you're accustomed to seeing, especially like at Talladega or Daytona. But I think it's a more strategic race more than anything that enables you to be in a position to potentially win it there at Indianapolis. And the excitement at times may not be there that you would see likely on the big, you know, motor speedways of Talladega and, you know, all the things that they do on those super speedways. But it should be a great race. And you're right, the talent, it, just like in everything, is getting younger and younger. These kids are exposed to it at a young age.
It needs
age.
A Ricky Bobby. We need a Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, well, we grew up in the era of, you know, Dale Earnhardt, Barry Waltrip, you know, Neil Bonnet, Richard Petty, you know, where they may get out of a car and start fighting on the fourth turn and not care where the cars are.
Oh yeah. That was, you know, the good old days.
Yeah. You know,
good old days.
Yeah. Dale Earnhardt had a legacy that, you know, went on and on. You just don't see that as much anymore. I guess Tony Stewart and Dale Earnhardt Jr. may have been the last of those wily veterans that came up through the ranks and earned their way, to the top.
Kevin Harvick, who just left.
Ryan Newman.
Denny Hamlin is kind of.
Yeah.
Is he the last of the.
Maybe.
I'm trying to think who. He is there anybody else close? Well, Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
How funny is it to say that? Because he's been running for 21 seasons, I think.
Yeah.
That's remarkable.
And,
I mean,
him and his brother both. Yeah.
Well, and his brother had to leave. Basically, was forced out because of, I think, a head injury. Same reason Dale Earnhardt Jr. stopped driving. Yeah. But Dale Earnhardt Jr., I remember him pointing out that he went back and he looked at drivers and ages, and that he saw that once you hit, there was a specific age, and I don't know if it was like 40 exactly, but once you're past 40, it was remarkable, the drop. And that blows my mind, because I'm like, really? Is there that much of a drop off? And there obviously is, in the ability of the human body to do athletic things. And a lot of people, our friend Todd Leary does not think race car drivers are athletes, and they're not athletes in the normal sense of how we see things. But I wish I would have remembered to bring that up to Chase, and he probably would have chuckled, because he talked about the heat in the car. He said, it's 100 degrees out, because it's 140 in the car.
Right.
I mean, all right, imagine sitting in a freaking 140 degree box for 4 hours. I know. All you people that have ever done hot yoga, think about that for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Not only that, but the stress of driving at nearly 200 miles an hour, making moves, doing this, doing that. If you don't think mental stress wears you down, you're out of your mind. Add that to be. Last week, I think it was Denny Hamlin. He didn't want to wear the cool suit. He was roasting his water. He said, I don't know. We got to do something. We got to put a block of ice or something in here. I'm drinking warm water.
Yeah.
And so now I tried to give Hank some water yesterday because he was panting, and the only thing I had was this bottle, and it was kind of warm. Nope. Didn't care. I'm like going, nobody wants to drink warm water, baby.
Yeah. Dogs want ice in their water at this time of year. But
Robert says the eyesight fades, and that's an exact, that is.
Yeah, it's true.
That is an exact truth. That's weird. You hit 40, and like me, I don't wear glasses normally. I'm wearing them now. These are just cheaters. Those cheap-ass cheaters you buy wherever. But I have to have them to simply read.
Yeah.
But I have 20/20 vision otherwise. And I'm like, that's stupid. That's completely stupid. That's crazy. That I can have 20/20 vision. Well, yeah, yours are cool though.
Yeah, I have to take them off because if I don't, it gets all wacky. But I agree. I think the other thing with race car drivers is that when they come up and they're young, they're willing to take those type of chances that maybe as you become a veteran and more in tune with what is in and around you, you may not take those chances that a young driver takes.
That's a big thing. Exactly.
Because they have a little bit more foresight in, you know, just from being a vet in a car that's going 200. Because in today's age, and they've made these cars, and I don't want to make it sound like they're in a very protected car, but they are to a degree. They've made these tracks with the walls and the cars nowadays so protective of the driver that they can take some chances that maybe they wouldn't have taken 10, 15 years ago, just because of the chance that they may get flipped upside down and into the guardrails. Like we've seen some of these horrific accidents. I mean, you look at Dale Earnhardt's crash at Daytona and what ultimately claimed his life. When you watch the replay of it, you didn't think anything of it. But you understood the impact and how that
going 190 miles an hour when he hit that wall.
Yeah. And how it, you know, basically head slammed him.
Yeah. They did not have the
harnesses
device.
Yeah.
That holds your head back. They did not. He was old school. He was even more old school.
He
wore an open face helmet. He did not have any of the safety precautions. His death caused a lot of safety precaution changes. And it is amazing that they can have the safety that they do.
It's incredible.
So we'll certainly see.
All the contact sports have that now, even in the sport of football, and what they've done with the helmet and sensors and being able to determine if a kid's taken a hit that needs to be evaluated and things of that nature. You know, that wasn't even in the game of football 15 years ago, 20 years ago. So there's a lot of advances that have been made in protecting athletes. And I do feel that race car drivers are an athlete in other avenues that maybe a physical sport athlete isn't. You know, like you just said, the mental aspect of the race car is pretty strenuous when you think about it. 200 miles an hour, weaving in and out of traffic, knowing when to take a shot. You know, those are the type of things that, you know, that I respect of that type of sport that you would say fits in that category as athlete.
Without question. Turning back to football, Big Ten media days continues, but let's talk about Kurt Cignetti, some things came out at Big Ten football media days. He says that, hey, I'm the GM and the head coach. He deals with everything. He is immensely involved with the NIL I guess we've got to stop talking about NIL. It's rev share. Rev share is now the deal. But he is directly involved in deciding who gets what, in essence. And people always wonder, well, who makes these decisions? Because like with Woodson, I was like, there's no way he has I hate to say this, but I'm thinking there's no way he has the wherewithal to know who should get what, but that's another story. But Cignetti is deeply involved with that. He is involved in all of that. And not only that, he talked about one of the Indiana players being tampered with. He said it's one thing to inadvertently call somebody, but it's another thing to call them and offer them $800,000 or $1.5 million to leave. And so he didn't name the school. And I think that's, I don't have a problem not naming the school, but a complaint should be filed. If you don't do it now,
that's what the Wisconsin
people to keep doing it.
Well, that's what the Wisconsin lawsuit's all about. The kid that left Wisconsin and went to Miami of Florida. And that is a lawsuit that's ongoing. And it basically addresses what you're talking about from the standpoint, the kid didn't have to repay the money that he had taken from Wisconsin. So, but there's an underlying tone to that, and it has to deal with the tampering issue, because it used to be illegal, and I'm sure it still is, for a opposing school to call a player on your roster, whether it was directly or some runaround. Now, the NIL gets the runaround, I guess you could say, because they're outside the scope of the schools. So of the
schools, but they still now have to go through this clearinghouse.
Right. And
which is also being fought to say, you can't tell me what I can and can't get. So yeah, we're still not there.
Yeah, we're not there yet. Right. But again, we do have some guardrails. Do they need to be improved upon? Yes. There does need to be this anti-tampering concept addressed and provide, you know, remedy for it, as well as the transfer portal and a number of the times that a kid can or cannot transfer from an institution to institution and create a yearly free agent market that is right now is ongoing. So there are some guardrails that need to be invoked. I mean, I think Petitti spoke to this fairly well at the Big Ten media days about the coaches and the ADs have gotten what they exactly wanted when it came to the rev share and NIL aspect of things. Is it perfect? No, but we're going to have to learn on the run and adjust and adapt and improvise when we have issues that arise, such as tampering or things of that magnitude. But it's going to be a work in progress for the next 5 years, I guarantee you, because you just don't come up overnight with every scenario that could be impacting a school in a negative way. So we're going to see how this all plays out, but we've got some guardrails. And it's now a true, I guess you could say, professional sport at the collegiate level now, because they are receiving money for their abilities on the field. And that's where everything is going.
Yeah. And we'll look forward to that. But Cignetti, there, Matt Painter is still able to run his program right now the way he wants to run his program, which is different than virtually everybody else in the country. How long that lasts, I don't know. But this is some similarity to what Cignetti is doing. He is running his program the way he wants to run his program. And right now, he's not letting NIL or rev share dictate that, which I'm amazed at. I've got to be honest with you. I'm amazed how Kurt is doing such a phenomenal job navigating all these changes while building a program at a place that has sucked for a century, in essence. And it's pretty remarkable, because doing it once is one thing. Everybody kept saying, oh, well, it's this. It's because he brought the JMU. Why is it? It seems like no matter what, people just don't want to accept Indiana has a football program now. What's the big deal? It's like this was any other school. Nobody would give a rat's patoot, but they should have been in the CFP. Oh, their schedule, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, shut up. I'm sick of hearing it.
Yeah.
I'm like, why are you complaining so much? It's just mind boggling to me.
It's like, you know, it's like Ole Miss has now become this vaunted member, high flying member of the SEC. And
is that
everyone
the one that lost to a 5-whatever yeah. Kentucky team at home last year.
Right, right. And, you know, because Lane Kiffin's the coach there and that they should be this, you know, national power, but they don't have a history or track record of that either in a consecutive years and such and such. So, again, they just, you know, people want to look at Indiana's track record. And like you said, it hasn't been great, but that doesn't mean.
But that has nothing to do with now, today. It's a new age, new everything.
Exactly. Everything's been turned back to quote unquote zero in some respects, because from here on forward, it's a completely different era than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And everything that has done in the past really has not that much bearing on the future, because every school has the ability to do what Indiana did. Bring in transfers, fulfill the roster, pay them what you need to pay them, and put on a product on the field. Now, what Kurt Cignetti does is he's a great salesman of what he can do for a kid based upon his track record as a head football coach, which is pretty significant. It's just like the kid out of Northrop High School, the wide receiver Guilford that went to Ohio State. He went to Ohio State for less money than what other institutions were offering him, that including maybe Indiana was in that equation, for the simple purpose of that he wanted to be coached by Brian Hartline. That was it. He didn't get any more money to be this daunted star to go to Ohio State. But he went there for a reason of it being Brian Hartline. So it's never always about the dollars for some individual kids. It's, or moms and dads for that matter, because they may look at it and say, look, Bloomington's academic programs alone are worth its weight in gold. And you're going to pay my son to come there to get a degree? Well, yeah. And sometimes that has a selling point to it. So there's more than just the dollars in this equation. And I think Sig does a great job with that. I think he takes input from the kids or from the players as well as the coaches, and he formulates his opinions on based upon what he's going to do with his roster. And that's why he sets out and does it. He doesn't need a dedicated individual to tell him this is what we should do, because I think he's one of those guys. I want the control in my hands.
Oh, he's admitted to being a control freak. And I understand that, because it's really hard to, when you work as hard as I know he does, and others in their life, people listening, probably the same thing. It doesn't matter what job you have. Some mm-hmm. as hard as some people work, you don't want to turn over the chance to somebody else to screw it up. It's just, I understand it. I'm like, you want things done a certain way, and you just don't trust they're going to be done that way if it's not you doing it, because you think that, well, they don't have the same drive for this to be perfect as I do, or whatever the case mm-hmm. may be. But he knows what he's doing. He knows what he wants. He knows what it takes to get there. He's said it for years. He's proven it for years. He came in very, very brash last year at a place that it almost sounded like a joke. But when he was done, who was laughing? It was not Indiana, and it was not Kurt Cignetti. I mean, it was Indiana, yeah. Kurt Cignetti, but he hit the nail on the head. And it's like, I don't know if it would have been a different reaction had he not been brash. But I think that they needed that. Indiana needed that. And Kurt Cignetti is the right guy at the right time for Indiana. Period.
Well, he's even said it to exactly what you said. He understood that he was going to have to come in and stir the pot a little bit, because he says, we are in the entertainment business. and made some comments that maybe he would not have made in other stops along his way, but he felt Indiana needed that bravado of somebody coming in here, stirring the apple cart, changing the mindset, understanding that this is what it was going to take. And he wasn't afraid to say it out loud. And that's why so many gravitated towards him. And of the Hoosier fan base, they gravitated to a guy that had that moxie of being able to come out and say what he, wanted to say off the cuff and not think anything about it. Now, he had to prove it. He did. And that's what you reflected in terms of what they did at the end of the year by laughing at others based upon, what they had accomplished that didn't believe they could do it. And that's Sig, and love him, hate him, whatever. He knows how to do the job of coaching football as well as motivating players, coaches, and those administrators around him to get on the bandwagon.
Welcome back to the Hard Truth, to Stille & Company Studios on this Thursday. Coach Griff is with us, and been a fun day. Very, very different day. Like, I like doing different stuff. I know a lot of people like to just want us to do IU football and basketball, and I like to keep a little, some different ingredients in there. Chase Briscoe on with us today. He'll be running in the Brickyard 400 this weekend at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and I think he's got to be one of the favorites to win there. We had Evan Burns on, the CEO and co-founder of the Finnish Long Drink, who was an IU grad. So pretty cool there. So I like to bring some different things to people, and I enjoy that. So
absolutely.
I you did too. And if not, sorry. But we'll have basketball tomorrow. We'll have Todd Leary on, of course, Zach Osterman from the Indy Star, and Kyler Staley from the Hoosier.com will most likely be joining us. I think Alec is on assignment tomorrow. So, but plenty to get to on that. Not much going on with IU basketball right now. The live evaluation periods have come to a close, and the next thing up is heading to Puerto Rico on August 5th through the 12th. Indiana Sports Speed Radio will be there bringing the action to you. We'll be broadcasting from there all during that time, as well as the Hoosier.com will be there as well. So if you want to see what's going on as of right now, the Hoosier.com is the way to go. You'll get the highlights, interviews, all the exclusivity that you can want. So go to the Hoosier.com and get a subscription, because they've got a special $1 to check it out, 50% off for the first year. This fall, when everything gets cracking, the breaking stories and all that content will still be there, but that great offer will not be. So get it while you can. Get them while it's hot. Get them while it's hot.
Absolutely. And I tell you, Zach and Colin have done a great job covering the Big Ten media days as well. And I know they're heading back today at some point in time, but again, you can only get that there at the Hoosier.com. And they do a great job.
Out in Las Vegas this year, and normally I've always been at Big Ten Media Days, but this wasn't feasible with the time change, and so made the decision not to go out. But yeah, if you go to the Hoosier.com right now, as I'm looking at it, it is just covered with stuff from the Big Ten Media Days, but also some basketball stories there. Ranking the importance of every offseason addition for Indiana basketball from Drew Rosenberg, and plenty of other things up on the board, as the lots of recruiting information as well. We had Jamie Sean just was that yesterday or the day before that to I think it was Tuesday to kind of wrap up all of the 3SSB and Nike YBL and all those tours that came to a close. But man, it's crazy. I'm like, I keep telling people, I cannot wait till the season to start, because that has become, I don't want to call it, it's not a slower time. That has become a less less busy. it seems like, but yeah, everything's year round. It doesn't stop anymore, and which is fine. But yeah, it was kind of like being a teacher working in sports. Summer would come along and everything slows down. And so you get a chance to kind of breathe, and not a lot of breathing this summer. It's been headlong and going full force.
Hey, the school year starts next week for the kids down in Indianapolis. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, everything is a lot faster pace. Everything's turning over more quickly, as it seems. Now, it could be the fact that I'm getting older, and I want
to wish... Aren't we all, my brother? Aren't we all?
And I want to wish my daughter a happy 32nd birthday as she celebrates in Chicago, Illinois, where she lives now. But can't believe that. But yeah, you're right. There's a lot of things going on nowadays that between the basketball world, the football world. I mean, you just name any sport and it seems like it goes 24/7 nowadays.
You're not lying, buddy. I cannot thank you enough as always. Coach Griff on with us, and you'll be seeing plenty more of him
tonight,
without question. Tonight, who you got?
Well, tonight, 7:30, I invite all your listeners to join me right on the Hoosier.com YouTube page, as well as Twitter and all that. But tonight we're going to talk about the three Big Ten gauntlet games that Indiana will face, games 4, 5, and 6, and how it may define the Hoosier season.
Sounds like a good one. Make sure you're tuning in. Coach Griff, big thanks to Evan Burns from the Finnish Long Drink, Chase Briscoe as well. Looking forward to seeing you guys again tomorrow. We're back to do it again. Until then, I'm Jim Coyle. I will see you on the radio.
Thanks for listening to Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube page for more clips and team coverage of Indiana basketball, football, and more. You can also find full episodes and tons of other content on thehoosier.com. We'll see you next time for another edition of Indiana Sports Beat Radio.
Hello, everyone. Jim Coyle from Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Thank you so much for listening to our content. We hope you enjoy it. Make sure you're a subscriber at either your favorite podcast download or on our YouTube channel at Indiana Sports Beat Radio. Either way, just give us a like on any of those. We would greatly appreciate it. It helps us immensely. Thank you and have a great day.